Start recording. Okay, so there are either a lot of people who exercise here or a lot of people who don't exercise, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, and I certainly won't make any predictions right now by looking around the room. In their infinite wisdom, the gabbai of a shul gave Hagba to Moshe, the puniest guy in the shul. And with great effort, Moshe manages to complete the act, but nearly faints in doing so, almost dropping the Torah on the floor. Dovi, you are good. You are great. He then vows that he will never be embarrassed like that again. He joins a local gym, and he commences a six-month heavy training course. He starts with push-ups, sit-ups, chin-ups, weightlifting. And by the end of the 6 weeks, Moshe is doing burpees, Russian twists, wolf raises, jumping lunges, dumbbell rollback extensions, and Bulgarian split squats. Now he comes back to shul, and the gabbai calls him up again. And this time Moshe picks up the Sefer Torah like it was made of feathers, and he flips it in the air, and while the Torah is spinning, Moshe does a somersault and gets on his feet just in time to catch the falling Torah. He then turns to the gabbai and he says, "What do you think of that?" The gabbai says, "Very nice, but I called you up for shlishi." Exercise for some people is a frightening word. There are so many excuses for why we don't exercise properly or regularly. A famous comedian once said that his doctor told him to drink less, sleep more, eat healthy, and exercise every day. So today I'm making a big change in my life. I'm finding a new doctor. One of my colleagues here in Yeshiva thought it was funny that today's shiurim on health are being presented by a bunch of overweight rabbeim. And I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, speak for yourself. I am 36 years old and I'm just as good a shape as I was when I was 35. And another Rebbe was listening in and told me that he was in his prime, and I looked at him and I said, "You're in your prime, all right. Prime bistro." Now, many don't exercise because they feel too busy with work or family responsibilities, while others may lack motivation or feel self-conscious about their looks. Others point to a lack of access of proper, suitable exercise equipment. However, as we will learn today, it's not only important to prioritize a healthy workout regimen, it is a Torah obligation. And on the topic of health, I just want to, before I go on, say that this shir is being committed l'refuah shleima for Ruchama Chana Etzel Bas Chava, who is in need of improved health at this moment. Of course, there are several famous examples of tremendous feats of strength in Jewish history. We, of course, have a couple of weeks parsha ago, Yaakov and the angel, Yaakov fighting with the Sar Shel Esav. We have Shimshon bringing down the house when he was defeating the Pelishtim. And perhaps the most famous Jewish feat of strength is Bill Goldberg's undefeated streak in WCW. Yes, he is Jewish. Now, throughout history, there have been many notable fitness personalities who have been Jewish as well. We have the famous Gilad Jenkelowitz, an Israeli-born fitness personality best known for the longest-running fitness shows in the United States, Bodies in Motion, and for his show Total Body Sculpt with Gilad. No joke, before my wedding, my dad and I, who is here today, went through his entire box set, all 12 DVDs, before my wedding. There's also boxing legend Salomo Arush, who survived the Holocaust by boxing for the entertainment of the Nazis in Auschwitz. His story was portrayed in the 1989 film Triumph of Spirit, starring Willem Dafoe as Arush. And of course, there's fitness legend Richard Simmons, the most Jewish-looking fitness guru one can possibly imagine. And we cannot forget perhaps the most impressive Jewish fitness guru, the Ninja Rabbi.
My name is Akiva Newman from Highland Park, New Jersey, but I'm known as Rabbi Ninja.
One word, Ninja.
I competed on American Ninja Warrior Season 8 as the Ninja Rabbi. The experience was a very positive experience.
You see, religion is so important when you're competing.
Being a religious Jew in America and being able to compete on American Ninja Warrior was a feat in and of itself.
The public confidence out of the team. Well, a little hot up here. This is his first time trying a ninja horse.
I got through the steps.
Is he doing his way? He's stretching now? Okay, I'm not good.
Hold on to the wide grip.
His legs like I'm trying to get some grip.
I was able to get through the paddle there. I had a tilting wall, I was sitting on top of the tilting wall, feeling confident.
He's got that wall rocking, it's back and forth. You want to slide down, hit that trampoline. You see a fight, and you can see it rocking there. He's getting lighted. Oh! It's like he's stuck there like a fly on a glow stick.
And I landed on the trampoline, had a great jump. I grabbed onto the punching bag, held on. on tight.
Hold on. Don't get your yarmulke wet.
Wasn't able to kick off, and so I lost momentum, and naturally I fell into the water.
Well, he didn't make it, but at least he ended in a mikveh. Of course, we are aware that regular exercise can improve one's physical and mental health and increase energy levels and reduce the risk of various diseases such as obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. And as Jews, we know that we have an obligation to protect our souls, our neshamas. That's the basis behind everything that we do in our lives. But we also believe that our bodies are receptacles for our neshama. And in order to care for our neshama, it is absolutely critical that we protect our physical health as well. Now, when we talk about exercise, we are not necessarily talking about strength training, building muscle, getting stronger. What we're talking about is a much more basic fundamental requirement to develop a regular exercise routine and to be healthy. Now, do you want to feel unhealthy? According to the Mayo Clinic, the American Medical Center focused on integrated healthcare, education, and research, here is the amount of exercise that an average adult should be doing each week. You should be doing at least 150 minutes per week of moderate aerobic activity, or 75 minutes per week of vigorous aerobic activity a week, plus 2 times a week strength training. Strength training exercises for all major muscle groups at least 2 times a week. Aim to do a single set of each exercise using a weight or resistance level heavy enough to tire out your muscles with 12 to 15 repetitions. Anybody? Didn't think so. Now, for some of us, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because for some, raising a hand is too strenuous as well. But, you know, today is January 2nd or January 1st, Nidche. Now, a lot of people today take on New Year's resolutions. I actually wrote an article to the editor, a letter to the editor to this past week's Five Times Jewish Home. Maybe it'll appear in next week's. They just did the year in review, the 2020 year in review. So I wrote a letter to the editor explaining to them that I love the year in review issue, but we have to remember that 2022, 2023 is meaningless to a Jewish person. The events of any given year are not determined from January to January, but from Tishrei to Tishrei. And so I told the editor, I'd like to see your 5783 year in review the following year. However, I saw a tweet yesterday that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky would walk in on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, to his shir and wish everybody a happy new year and ask them for their resolutions. And the Talmidim said, Rebbe, why are you asking us for a New Year's resolution on New Year's Day? So Rav Yaakov said, if the Goyim can take on resolutions, certainly we should as well. And his message was, of course, that every day is a day for resolution. However, January 19th, in just a couple of weeks, is Quitter's Day. Research conducted by Strava using over 800 million user-logged activities predicted that on January 19th, all those who take on resolutions on January 1st will quit on January 19th. Now, exercise is not easy to commit to. Take it from my friend Peter Griffin.
Okay, Peter, a good and conspicuous workout is to do lunges on the sidewalk. Just do like I do. Step, 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 step.
Now, we mentioned earlier some basic excuses that some have to avoid exercise. Now, Jews are great at a lot of things, but maybe the thing that we're best at is making excuses. And I think that we have 3 Jewish-specific excuses not to exercise. Number 1, Hashem gave me a certain amount of years to live. Why should I even take care of my body? Let me eat whatever I want, do whatever I want. It's all about mitzvos and averos. Why exercise? Number 2, being ripped and in shape isn't a Jewish value. Isn't that what the Greeks did? Didn't we just celebrate Hanukkah? And number 3, I know everybody's thinking, who's got the time to work out? Isn't that such bittul Torah? So is watching Family Guy clips, but okay. So let's tackle each one of these excuses by themselves. Hashem decides how long I live, why take care of my body? Now, many people say that it does not make a difference what type of food they'll eat, as Hashem will ultimately decide how long they live. No need to take care of our body, no need to exercise. However, this is a wrong assumption. The Gemara says, "Akol bidei shemayim chutz mitzinim pachem," that everything is left up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu except for cold and heat. In other words, if we are negligent about our health, if we go into cold atmospheres when it's very cold without being bundled up properly, or we go into a very hot place without being dressed properly, that's on us. All manner of misfortune that befalls a person, yes, is in the hands of heaven, except for sickness brought on by exposure to cold and heat. And Tosus explains that while some things are predetermined by Hashem, our negligence is not. Yes, it is true that Hashem gave us a certain number of years on this earth. Yes, it is true that through proper dieting and exercising, we cannot make that allotment longer necessarily. But without proper dieting and exercising, we can definitely make our lives that much shorter. This is also illustrated by the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, which says that 99% of people die before their time is up, and only 1% die on time. That 99% of the people, the last line, Rabbanan Amrin, Tishim V'Tisha B'Shia, 99% of people die because of negligence, because they didn't take care of themselves, because they brought it upon themselves. Whatever that means exactly, there's obviously a lot more depth there, but the idea is clear, that we are in charge of what we do with our bodies, and that can help us live longer. The Sefer Ma'avar Yabok, written in 1626 by Rabbi Aaron Barachia, is the classic Jewish text on death and dying, and has been used by many Chevra Kadisha groups throughout the centuries. And in Perek Hay, the author writes that some illnesses, I'm translating from the board, some illnesses, such as colds, and strike people as a result of their own foolish actions, and they will be held accountable like one who commits suicide. He is considered a category of sinner. If his illness causes him to be incapable of fulfilling the mitzvot as he should, he will be held responsible. So we can see from these sources that no, one cannot just leave his health up to Hashem's free will. In fact, we believe that our bodies are not ours to abuse. Our bodies belong to Hashem. There's actually a halacha that if someone walks into Bezin and says, I owe $1,000 to Dovi. I can walk into Bezin and say, I owe $1,000 to Dovi. I am now obligated to pay that $1,000. There's a halacha that says the hodas baldin kemeh eidim dummy, that when a litigant admits to giving up money or to owing money, that's like 100 aidim came in the room and testified about that. I now have to give you the money. However, if I walk into Beis Din and I say the following, I scream out, I just lit a fire on Shabbos, I cooked a whole pig in it, and I ate it right then and there. What happens to me? I admitted to committing an avera punishable by death. The Radvaz on the board says nothing happens. Ein adam meisim asma rasha. One cannot give up his life just like that. It is not our bodies to give up. You need edim. You need warning. My money, that's mine to give up. But my body, I cannot give up my body. That's like committing suicide. We have the responsibility to treat Hashem's body that He entrusted to us with the same sanctity that we treat a Sefer Torah. It's why we treat a dead body with so much sanctity even after death. Every Jew is a vehicle for words of Torah. And just as the parchment of a Torah becomes holy forever, even if a Torah becomes puzzled, you have to bury it, so too, when a person dies, we bury it. We treat it with great sanctity because the body ultimately belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are just taking it on loan every single day. Hashem really, really cares about our health. And if you want to prove it, this study from the Journal of Chinese Medicine, fascinating, this guy showed that all of the points where your tefillin press upon your head and your arms actually line up and correspond to pressure points on the body in Chinese medicine that help release anxiety. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly had in mind that all the mitzvot that we do are going to help us live longer. But now let's move on to excuse number two. Being ripped and fit are not Jewish values. We just celebrated Hanukkah, and we talked so much about how the Greeks worshipped the body. They ran around naked in coliseums, flaunting their physical achievements. In fact, some say that the reason we eat latkes and jelly donuts on Hanukkah is specifically to combat that which the Greeks prided themselves in. Let's all get fat on Hanukkah. But getting ripped is actually not a Jewish reason to work out. That's true. The Rambam tells us that everything we do in life should be done l'shem shemayim. Sarach la'odam shi'ish abed kochos nafsho kulam l'fi hadas. The underline, v'yosem l'neged einav tamid tachlas achas. Our whole life is for one goal and one goal only, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second paragraph, v'yosem pu'ulos of kulon. Every action that a person does, exercising included, tinu osav, umidichu osav, when he rests, when he sleeps, v'chol devarav mevin l'zu hatachlas. Everything that we do in life has to be so that we are healthier, so that we can serve Hashem better, so that we can better do mitzvos. It is not about getting ripped. It is not about being in shape, so to speak. This Rambam would dictate that a person should not judge a food by how it tastes, but rather, how is it going to help him be an Eved Hashem? This doesn't mean that you can't go out for a fancy dinner. It doesn't mean that you have to subsist on just water and saltines all your life. Healthy outlets are important for us as well, but the goal should not be about vanity. A lot of times when someone's working out, they're thinking about getting a six-pack or large muscles. And when someone works hard on something, it's natural for them to take pride in what they're doing and their achievements, to look in the mirror. But we need to be on guard not to get too caught up in that. that. The Rambam tells us that protecting our body is a fulfillment of the mitzvah to follow in Hashem's ways. Hashem created our bodies healthy and complete, and therefore one must distance himself from anything that harms the body. Now the Rambam has a lot to say about health and fitness. The Rambam was not only one of the greatest Torah scholars in Jewish history, but was also known to be one of the greatest medical experts of his time. While living in Egypt, he had a thriving private practice where he was the doctor for the Sultan. He authored 10 major medical works in Arabic, which combined his extensive knowledge of the ancient works of Greek physicians. But the Rambam lived hundreds of years ago. Should we be following the Rambam's advice? And he does lay out certain things that you're supposed to do, things that you're supposed to eat, not supposed to eat. Unfortunately, there's a lot of fake stuff out there, and we have to know who to trust. We can't just listen to everyone, like this time that Conan O'Brien went to a gym with comedian Kevin Hart.
I just looked off camera, and I see that Kevin brings his own trainer. Can you bring him in here?
Yeah, right.
Look at this guy.
Tell me.
This is your trainer?
Yeah.
No wonder. Meet my trainer. Get in here. This is Ruben. Say hi. Ruben works me out twice a month. And then we go over my accounts. He also does my taxes. It's clear your methods of working out are an attempt to kill me.
Now, when South African-born David Zolberg was learning in Kola in Yerushalayim, he considered his health condition to be pretty typical. 30 pounds overweight, sluggish feeling, and living with a bad case of acid reflux. His doctor urged him to make lifestyle changes, but who had the motivation for that? And then he chanced upon the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, and a mild curiosity evolved into a 7-year mega project that involved tracking down and studying the translations of all 11 of the Rambam's medical works, and then he created a user-friendly diet approach based on those principles that has helped thousands lose weight and keep it off. Today, Zolberg is a popular media personality and certified health coach and fitness specialist. He wrote 3 books, one of which, the bottom one, The Life-Transforming Diet, Health, and Psychological Principles of Maimonides. Rabbeinu Yaakov, author of the Arba Turim, is likewise of the opinion that it is a Torah commandment to preserve our health. He writes, "We are commanded to conduct ourselves in a manner that preserves our health so that we will be healthy and strong to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu." The third excuse. Isn't it all Bittul Torah? Isn't just a waste of valuable time? So the truth is, it is not Bittul Torah at all. Take a look at this Gemara. I'm going to read it inside. Amar le Rav Huna l'Rabba Berei, Rav Huna said to Rabba his son, "My taima lo shichachta kamei de Rav Chista de mechadadan shmaitse." Rav Huna said to his son, "How come you're not going to shir? How come you're skipping? How come you're always found in the library?" Sounds familiar, guys? Amar le, "My eza lagabe, decha zalna lagabe mosiv libamili d'alma." So Rabba says, "Why should I go to shir? I go to shir every day, and you know what he talks about? He talks about mundane matters. He speaks about things not related to Torah. Amarli, manda ayalabesa kisei lalesa behedya. For example, he says someone who goes to the bathroom should not sit down immediately and should not exert himself excessively. He's talking about going to the bathroom. He's talking about health. Why should I go to shir? What a waste of time to go to shir. Amarli, so his father says back, hu asik b'chayi debarayasa v'ata mar b'mili de'alma kol shekein zilagabe. He says back to his son, "No, that's exactly what you have to learn. That is a crucial matter to human life. And you say that he's dealing with mundane matters? Now that I know what you meant, all the more so that you must go to his shir." We see from this that it is not only learning how to preserve one's life and how to put those principles into practice. It's not considered trivial or mundane. On the contrary, Rav Huna instructed his son that it's even preferable to learn from one who includes this subject as part of his Torah lectures. And that's really the basis behind everything we're doing today at this Yom Ian. Of course, exercising is a fulfillment of the explicit pasuk in the Torah, "Unishmartem ma'on l'nafsho seichem." Certainly then, actually putting this learning into practice is also a fulfillment, if not Talmud Torah, then certainly Avodas Hashem. There is an article in Jewish Action magazine entitled "Workout for the Body and the Soul, Introducing Gym into the Yeshiva Curriculum." And the author writes, "In the push to cram secular and Judaic subjects into an 8-hour day, many Orthodox day schools are leaving out one of the most important classes, gym. An informal survey of nearly 50 yeshivas across the country revealed that most schools provide 35 to 55 minutes once or twice a week. But the CDC says that they need more. The great Rav Avram Yitzhak HaKohen Cook, the first chief rabbi of then Palestine and founder of the famous yeshivas Merkaz HaRav, on the bottom, insisted that physical education be an important part of yeshiva curriculum. He wrote that when Jewish children will be strong, sound, and healthy, the air of the world will become holy and pure. And I have heard from students in the school say this daily. We need more gym. We have a board member here in the room. Come on. We want more gym. Say it. Tell it to him. Bother him afterwards. His name is Gavri Butler. You can find him in the hallway. On top of that, Who says it has to be Bittul Torah? Sorry, Gary. There are so many options to listen to Torah while you're exercising. My Rebbe, Rabbi Leibowitz, was once asked the following shaila by one of his Talmidim. His wife bought him for his birthday waterproof earpods. And he asked Rabbi Leibowitz, am I allowed to go swimming and listen to shiurim while I'm swimming? Now, what are some of the issues? Why would you think that you can't learn shiurim while you're swimming? Yes, what's your name, though? What's your name? Michael? Michael. I'm so happy you're listening. That's awesome. That's right. And now, what are some other issues that might be problematic with swimming and listening to shiurim? What are some other issues?
Not really dressed appropriately.
You're not dressed appropriately. You're not wearing a yarmulke. You're not wearing a shirt, right? So Rabbi Leibowitz goes into all the different issues you can listen to in Amarya Torah. I'm not going to go into right now, but basically he paskened in the end that it was permissible to do this, that thinking and learning is not the same as speaking and learning, that you don't necessarily have to wear a yarmulke. You should wear a yarmulke, but if you're not wearing a yarmulke, it doesn't mean that you can't learn necessarily even a shirt if you're just thinking. So again, anyone, it's not Bittul Torah. You can listen to Why You Torah while you're running, while you're working out. Now let's talk about actual exercise. We've been talking about the importance of health, but what about actual exercise? So if you look at the Rambam says, Od klal acher amru b'briya saguf, that they have a given another principle with regard to physical well-being. Kol zman sha'adam es amel v'yageya harbe v'eino saveya, that as long as someone exercises and exerts himself greatly and does not eat to the point of satiation, even if he doesn't eat healthy foods, but as long as he exercises and he moves around, that is going to be mischazik for him. That's going to be good for him. However, someone who sits sedentarily, someone who just sits and doesn't move around, he doesn't exert himself. Or if you hold back your bowels, you can eat kale all day. But if you're not moving around, if you're not exercising, that is not going to be good for you. As the Rambam ends, the kocho tashesh, his strength will fade away. Frida was an old woman living in New York, and she was visiting some friends in Florida. And she saw a little old man in a rocking chair, merrily rocking his way on his front porch. He had such a lovely smile on his face, and she just had to go over and introduce herself. I couldn't help but notice how happy you are, she said. I would love to know your secret for a long and healthy life. Well, I smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day, drink 5 bottles of scotch whiskey a week, eat lots and lots of fatty foods, and I never exercise. Wow, that's absolutely amazing, said Frida. I've never heard of something like this. How old are you? I'm 26, he said. Jews have a custom, almost a reflex, that when we daven, we shuckle. There are many reasons offered for why we do this, but some believe that the practice was prompted by the passage in Tehillim, Kol Atzmosai Tamarna, that all of my bones should scream out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we daven with every single part of our bodies, every single bone, every single ligament. And Shimon Brainin of Vilna was a Russian and American physician. He held the position of physician of the Jewish community of Riga in Russia. And in 1883, in his Sefer Orach L'Chaim, he wrote that the distinctive custom to shuckle was instituted specifically to exercise the body during study and prayer. There are many people sitting in kollel all day, not really moving around too much, but at least shuckle a little bit. At least move your body. Shuckling is a form of what scientists call NEAT exercises, N-E-A-T. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis. It's the energy expended for everything we do that is not sleeping, eating, or sports like exercise. It ranges from the energy expended from walking, typing, performing yard work. If you look at this chart on the side, instead of taking the escalator, walk 3 flights. Instead of buying pre-sliced vegetables, wash it, dice it. Yes, even moving your hand could burn 20 calories. Using a leaf blower, instead of using a leaf blower, go ahead, stop being lazy, rake the leaves for 30 minutes. Instead of just standing, shuckle a little bit. Move your body around and you can burn calories that way as well. So the next time your Rebbe yells at you for walking around during class, tell him that you're practicing NEAT. And the next time you cut class, don't just sit in the library, go to the gym. There are, give or take, 100 trillion cells in an adult human being body. Those cells must be kept moving around the body. When they stop, we're dead. So reduce sitting, stand instead, substitute your legs for the car, move it, and do the shuckle. Now, there are so many other examples in the Torah about exercise. There is a Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Amru Allah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, listen to this. Kishahaya Sameach Simcha Sbeis HaShueva. Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned this yesterday. Haya Notel Shmona Avuko Shal Or. At the Simcha Sbeis HaShueva, the Beis HaMikdash, you know what he did? He juggled 8 torches. By the way, so I believe what's pointed out yesterday, if you look up in the Guinness World Records, I looked it up on the website, you know what the record is for the amount of fire torches juggled? Seven. Oh, seven. Anthony Gatto, seven. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel broke the world record. We didn't know, they didn't know about it then. But he was juggling eight avukos shel or. Not only that, v'zorak achas v'notel achas v'ein nogos v'zu. They never touch each other. Ukashehu mishtachabet. When he bowed down, he did this incredible trick. No ichtei gedula v'arts v'sochen v'noshek v'zoritzva v'zokev. He put two fingers on the ground, and he was able to lift his entire body. He was so strong. V'ein kobriya yachol alasos kein. And no one else was able to do this except from Shimon Gamliel. But I found two other people in the world that are able to do this. Watch this. You know what? Do not try this at home. I tried it last night, and my wife said, "What is all that banging going on upstairs?" I tried it a couple of times. Anyway, exercise is all over the Torah. My Rebbe, Rabbi Rosner, his father, a great doctor also who synthesizes Torah and health and medicine, he wrote this article along with Ira Wegg, Exercise in Judaism, and he showed that throughout the Torah, we have various different examples of people who exercise, running. In biblical times, runners were cultivated mainly for their military value. We find many times throughout Tanakh that people sent runners out into war. Just in last week's parasha, I think that Yehuda sent Dun, who was very, very fast. He sent him to run around the entire Mitzrayim to try to sabotage some of Yosef's plans before he revealed himself. When Avshalom, the rebellious son of King David, was slain by David's general, Yoav volunteered to run to inform David that the Lord had avenged him and his enemies. Dancing. How many times do we see dancing in the Torah? Even walking. There's a whole sugya I'm not going to go into right now because we don't have the time about whether or not you're allowed to exercise on Shabbos. And there is a Mishnah that speaks about not walking excessively and not walking excessively to make yourself sweat on Shabbos. And of course, the idea is that otherwise on Shabbos, otherwise during the week, sorry, you are supposed to exercise. You are supposed to exert yourself. Swimming. Swimming across a river is described in the Torah as spreading one's hands to swim. Reish Lakish, even after he became a great scholar, after he was a bandit. So the Gemara in Kedushin says that he continued to swim and he continued to exercise. So of course the idea of the day is that we're supposed to exercise, we're supposed to move around, we're supposed to take care of our bodies, and as you walk out you can take our fake brochure from my new gym, Ive Fitness, which is a new gym that I'm looking for. I'm looking for people to help me raise money, raise funds, that we're going to build a gym according to the words of the Rambam. Anyway, I thank everybody here today. Enjoy another Danish as you're walking out, and I hope you have a great rest of the day.